couple or three a day usually, and used to. But I found myself, you know, boy, it's getting more disgusting all the time, isn't it? This world is in a mess. And you really don't know what to believe sometimes when you... But I know our world is in a mess. The Middle East is like a boiling pot. And it would nothing surprise me to wake up and hear that Israel had wiped out Iran, or Egypt had wiped out, you know, Jordan, or Syria had wiped out Iraq, or, I mean, you know, it ain't nothing surprise me. Egypt is in turmoil. You know it. The military has overthrown the Islamic Brotherhood, and I tell you what, I don't know who's the pot and who's the kettle, do you? It's a mess. But, boy, don't you ever doubt this Bible's going to be fulfilled, every jot and tittle, not one word's going to pass away. So if you want to know really what's going on, just get your book and crawl off somewhere in a corner and turn that little lamp on. Try to get you a bulb besides the Al Gore bulb, because you can't hardly read with them things. And get you a good light bulb and crawl over and pull out that King James Version. If you have to, get large print. Amen. I don't know, but I'll tell you, and if you're real bad and you can't read, just get old Alexander Scorby out. He'll tell you what it says. But you want to know what's going on, just get in this book. Is that right? That's right. I want to try to help you today. I know you need it, and I do too. I want you to go to Matthew chapter number 22. Matthew's Gospel 22. We closed out, I guess, as much as we could in the 21st chapter last Sunday. And they got upset at Jesus for telling them, preaching to them. And they would have done something with him then, but they were afraid of the people, because a lot of them understood that took him as a prophet. So I'm going to go to the 22nd chapter now, and we're going to study this parable that Jesus likened the kingdom of heaven to. Now, I don't know how you are, but I enjoy these parables. He broke it down in common language where the common man can understand it, and he used these things to do it. I like that. I like that. It helps me to understand. And one thing about this lesson this morning, it teaches us that the kingdom of heaven is unto a certain king which made a marriage for his sons. Now, this is a parable reflecting the kingdom of heaven, the people that go to heaven, the people that are born into the kingdom of God. Now, it says, he sent his servant to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Now, there's a great lesson in this. And when the Lord, this king, he gave out these invitations, and when he invited people to come, they wouldn't do it. And so again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. Now, before I go on into this, the Lord is likening this to the king of heaven. How many knows who the king is in this parable? The king is God Almighty, the Lord, and he's called. You know, many are called. I believe anybody can be saved if they want to. The Lord is calling them. I don't believe in election, predestination, that you're born for heaven or hell. That's not what the Bible teaches. Amen. Many are called, but few are chosen. And while, what matters about the choosing is it's up to you. God will save you if you will let him. The Bible said he wouldn't cast anybody away that came to him. But this king, this lesson today shows the insult of this man. And I want you to notice something else about this. It said the oxen and the fatlings are killed. Now, you know, they didn't put them on ice, friend. They didn't have a freezer. It was prepared. So what does that tell you? That tells me there's a period of time for them to get there or miss out. Do you feel that urgency this morning to get right? And I'm going to tell you, I don't want nobody to experiment with sin. I wish our kids would grow up and just really never experience. That's really the will of God. And never go and be scarred and all. The greatest testimony they could have is that they never knew sin. I know they have to get saved, but to grow up and never not have a testimony that they got delivered from drugs or alcohol or that's the best testimony. But really, our children, all of us, when this call is made, we need to have the Spirit to respond to that call. Now, he sent out his servants. Can you imagine the feeling of this king? He had a big old banquet table filled. His son that he loved so dear was getting married. And he gave them a free invitation. Won't cost them anything. And they wouldn't come. Amen. How often Jesus looked over Jerusalem and he said, how often would I have gathered you as a hen doth her chick? And what did he say? You wouldn't do it. I really believe, amen, that we're here this morning, and I believe God has given us that invitation. Aren't you glad for that? How many's glad that you can be saved? I'm glad. I'm glad it didn't take money. I'm glad it didn't take a name or had to be a certain thing. But whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord, the same shall be saved. Amen. When the king heard, now I want you to notice at verse 5. Are you with me? Look at verse 5. Here's the attitude that these had that were invited. They made light of it and went their way. One to his farm and another to his merchandise. They made light of it. Now that's good old country language. How many knows what it means when it says they made light of it? They didn't take it serious. They brushed it off. It wasn't that important. It seems like the Lord, Brother Jeremy, is implying in this scripture that evidently their farm and their merchandise was what hindered them. Amen. Are you with me? Oh, come on now. Now the devil, he is in the advertising business. He can make his product look so appealing. That's what he did to Eve in the Garden of Eden. When she saw that it was good to look at, he just played right along with her flesh, and she destroyed, amen, the garden and her own life. Now listen, we've got to understand, if we don't get our value system in order, we'll make light of the very thing that is the most important thing in our life. Now, sometimes we get busy making a living and surviving that we forget to live. We get busy, you know, with this farm and merchandise. And I got a message. I was going to share this with you tonight, if the Lord, in a sermon I've got. But I had a dream a few weeks ago, and talking about along these lines, I'll just mention part of it here. But in that dream, the water, the flood was rising in that dream. And I noticed in the dream there was a man that had climbed up to the highest point on some kind of a structure. I can't explain exactly how it was. But I noticed that from my perspective, the water was rising. And this man's time was running out. So he was up on this material, and it had his mouth wide open, and he was trying to devour the very thing he was sitting on. Now, I know you may, God spoke to me during this, and I don't know, but the look on his face was that appetite. He was trying, and what he was on was just structure. It wasn't really food. It wasn't food. It was some kind of structure. And it was, his mouth was open, and he was trying to get all of that he could and devoured, regardless that the flood was rising, amen, and his moments were numbered. But his appetite was not to survive. His appetite was to get more while he still had a little bit of time. Is that not a picture of the world we live in here today? Huh? Amen. That's what caused it. Now listen, I don't know, and I don't think it was just, you know, I don't think we can take this scripture and say, you know, that farmers are going to go to hell because, you know, this man had a farm and I don't think it meant that what it say to his merchandise. I don't think that means everybody that owns a place of business. No, but it was that they made that a priority. When the king gave them an invitation, that invitation, amen, hey, God, maybe, someone came, knocked on the door. You're invited to go to the king. I don't care about the king's son getting married. I've got a field to plow. I've got money to make. I've got something to do. Amen. To check on my merchandise. I'm not going. Amen. Now this is a great, he was referring to the Jews that rejected Christ and the opportunity. Amen. To get born into the kingdom of God. Now listen, I've preached my whole life. It is harder, hear me, it's harder right now than it was when I began to get people to understand. Brother Mac, I used to preach years ago when I was young, and people would come to church, sinners would come. And sometimes by the dozen would come. Amen. And not because they didn't have anything else to do, but they even lost people. Felt they had a need in their heart. They knew they were going to go to hell. Are you listening to me? You may not believe this. I remember when I first got saved, and I'm an eyewitness to this. It don't sound right, but I still had a television for a few months there, and I remember I quit watching. The programs were a little offensive, and I turned to a religious program. I thought, you know, I'd just been saved a couple of months, and I remember getting on that program guy that was supposed to be, he was a singer and had a religious program, and he had Dolly Parton on there. I just wanted to wake you up. I knew that'd wake you up. And she had wrote a song called I Am the Seeker. I don't know if anybody ever heard of that or not. And it was on both the gospel and the country charts. And so they had her on there singing her song, I Am the Seeker. And so before she sang, she gave a little history of the song. She said, I wrote this song. She said it can be taken both ways, but said the motivation for my song. Now here's what she said. She said the motivation for my song was my mother. And she said and this is what she said. She said my mother was a praying woman. And she was a woman that sought God. She said, and here's what she said. She said, now don't let me give you the wrong impression. Here's what Dolly Parton said. Now she won't say it now, but she did that day. She said, now don't let me give you the wrong impression, because I know if I would die today, I would go to hell. You say, I don't believe she did. I heard her. Heard her with my own ears. You say, you sure it was Dolly? There ain't nobody like Dolly. I know it was Dolly. Okay. You got me? Now, could you think she'd say that now? No. But then, that's been 40 years ago. Amen. And you could tell, and I'm just be honest with you, you could tell that that woman, regardless of what she was or what she is now, she knew there was a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And she knew, hey, there used to be, but now in the day we live, it is harder. Amen. You can't hardly get people lost, let alone get them saved. There ain't nobody, anything goes. We're living in a world, and really, you have to blame the preachers that don't preach the Bible. Amen. Because they have deceived people into thinking that how you live don't matter. That God loves you so much that he's going to let you do what you want and still take you to heaven. How many knows the Bible does not teach that? But I'll tell you what the Lord does. He gives you an invitation. You can come if you want to. But you know what? When they wait it out, and here's where we're at, and this frustrates me to no end, because I love the Lord. I know that I would not be alive if God hadn't had mercy on me. And when I see people cursing him or not loving him or doing things, amen, that offends him, it hurts me to no end. Are you listening to me? Amen. But listen, we're in an hour, amen, where our world takes very lightly the call of God. Oh, I wish I could preach. Amen. We come here and even in the church services, amen, you can preach, amen, and folks, it takes conviction, amen, to get folks in the frame of mind that being saved is really worth something. Well, I'm trying. I know it don't seem like it, but I am. Listen, let me just read a little more. Now listen, the Bible said that they made light of it and went their ways. One to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant, the ones that didn't go away, took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. Now here's the same type situation that was in the previous chapter. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. And he sent his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up the city. Now, last Sunday, I believe it was last Sunday, I talked to you about the consequences of rejecting. Now, here's the consequences of making light. Hear me now. Here's the consequence of making light of the invitation. The Lord is inviting you to be part of the kingdom of God. Now, whatever it is that comes between, and you know, really, mostly, it's the lust of the flesh. The Bible said these three things are in the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You pretty well can track, amen, people's excuses for not living for the Lord to those three, amen, satanic things. The lust of the flesh, the craving to gratify the flesh. And how many knows that there is a brief pleasure in satisfying the flesh, very brief, for a season. But what we need is wisdom. We need to put wisdom in our children and our churches. Wisdom to understand that this small portion window of pleasure is not worth the consequence of rejecting the call of God. It ain't worth it. Somebody say amen? It ain't worth it. I know that. How many knows that? And you know, when Moses made his decision to leave Egypt and his position of politics and of power, he made his decision, Brother Jeremy. He made it by faith because he chose rather the affliction of the people of God than enjoy the treasures of Egypt and the pleasure of sin for a season. He had enough faith in what God said. Amen. You know, because judgment is not executed speedily, Then the sons of men's hearts grow evil. Amen. What it is, God tells you, if you sow to the flesh, you're going to of the flesh reap corruption. That may not happen overnight. Sometimes it does, but it may not happen overnight. But if you've got faith in what God said, you know if you don't pray and you don't live right and you don't cleanse yourself from worldly things, that it's going to catch up with you after a while. Amen. And it always does. It never fails. After you've lived as long as I have, you've seen this come to pass over and over and over. But really, that's not what turns us. It's faith in the Bible and confidence in God. Amen. God had sent this invitation out. They made light of it. Hey, we need to put the serious things at the foremost of our lives. Then saith, verse 8, then saith he to his servants. Now watch this. The wedding is ready. He's already sent out two different groups. And here he goes and destroys this city and burns it down. And now he says, the wedding is ready. But they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore, are you with me? Verse 9, how many is there? Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. Hallelujah. I tell you, you know, you see what the Lord's doing here. He is showing the nation of Israel that you rejected me, made light of me, and now I've gone to these Gentiles who are you consider bad, and I've got them sitting at my table. Aren't you glad there was a place for you at the table? I feel like Mephibosheth. You remember the crippled boy that was in Saul's household, Jonathan's son? David went and sent for him, said, bring him to my house. He'll sit at my table the rest of his life. Well, he couldn't walk. He was crippled. He'd been dropped when he was a little boy. And so they carried him in and set him at the table. But once he got at the table, you couldn't tell him from any of the rest of them. That's where I'm at. I've had a lot of, I wasn't a good kid. And I had to get right with God. But I'm going to tell you, once we get at the table, are you listening to me? I'd sure like to help somebody. I want to tell somebody in this house right now, if you're thinking this way is not worth it, you don't believe the Bible. You know, when trouble comes and you might be broke and not feel good, you say, well, here I am trying to serve the Lord and I'm broke and I don't feel good. But I'm going to tell you, serving the Lord is not about having money and feeling good. Huh? God Almighty created us in His own image and He expects us to serve Him, and we're sinned by nature, sinners by nature, but He sent His only begotten Son, amen, to redeem us of our sins if we'll only ask Him. Oh, I want to preach to you this morning. I'm done almost. Listen to this. I'm going to read the rest of this parable. So, those servants went out and bid them to come. The wedding was furnished with guests. When the king came in to see the guests, now look at this. He saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said to him, friend, how come thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Now, I don't know. I've read a little history on this, and they say that when the king invites guests in, he gives them garments to wear as they come through the door. So it's not the fact the man didn't have a garment. He just didn't care enough to put it on. And so he got in trouble. Listen to what it said. He said, he was speechless. And the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Now, I'm going to tell you, this is what I want to close with this morning. Now, there is an idea, and you may have that same idea, that if you leave this world unprepared, that somewhere down the road, God is going to let you slide into the party without a wedding garment on. He's not going to do it. Now, how do we get this? How do we get this? We respond to the invitation. Amen. In our sense, we repent of our sins. Do you think you can go to heaven with sin unrepented of? Can't do it. We got to repent of our sins, forsake them, confess that we're sinners saved by the grace of God. And when we do that, we become prepared, amen, for heaven by the grace of God. How many wants to be ready when you leave this world? I want to be ready. That's why we're here. Let's stand. God bless you for coming this morning. I want to encourage somebody. Amen. Just throw your heart right into this. This is the right thing. Amen. I know sometimes we get discouraged, and I know sometimes folks don't respond, and I know sometimes life throws us a curveball. I know that's so true. But, brother, this is living for God. Amen. Is the way we got to go. God.